Welcome to Food is Not a Four-Letter Word, the podcast where you ditch the diet drama, banish body shame, and reclaim your life, all while creating a body you love. When it comes to body drama, your host, Carmela Ramalia, has been there, done that, has the t-shirt, and wrote the books. And now, here's Carmela.
What price would you be willing to pay to get the body of your dreams? It's an honest question, a real one, that I would really like you to consider. What price would you be willing to pay to get the body of your dreams? This question, and this entire podcast actually, was inspired by a similar question I saw posed on social media. Someone I follow asked the question, would you gain 20 pounds if it meant achieving all of your career goals? Most of the women answered that they were ashamed to admit it, but the answer was no. Someone even said that they would gain the weight, achieve the success, and then have plastic surgery because, you know, then they'd have the success and the money that came with it, so then they could just buy their body, right? Now, as I watched the answers flutter by, I got increasingly agitated. I wanted to scream and tell everyone that they were asking the wrong questions and looking in the wrong places. You know, I'm Italian. I get riled up. So this question was indeed a good one because the question and the answers revealed the pain, shame, and drama that most women have around their body and their weight. In fact, the body image movement claims that over 90% of women hate their bodies. Now, I think hate is a pretty strong word. And I think, personally, that I have better questions to ask, better answers, and better ways to navigate the whole weight loss, weight management, body image, body positivity landscape, and, you know, all that good stuff. So, in case you have no idea who I am or what I'm about, my name is Carmela Ramalia, and I know a thing or two about body drama. At 17, I was hospitalized for anorexia at 80 pounds. By 25, I'd been in treatment four more times. And at 30, I was somehow 200 pounds and suicidal. I found my way to freedom. I found my way to peace. And I found my way to results. I learned how to create a body and a life I love. And that's what this podcast is all about. Food is not a four-letter word. This podcast is about ditching the diet drama, banishing all of that body shame, and reclaiming your life. That bandwidth, that life energy that just gets sucked out of you. We're going to reclaim all of that, all while creating a body that you love. So let's get back to that question about gaining that 20 pounds to achieve career goals, shall we? So the discussion on that thread, on that particular post, offered up a couple of common themes. And the first one is that many women thought that it was silly, embarrassing, vain, and perhaps almost anti-feminine or anti-body positivity to care so much about your weight and what you look like. And to that, I say nonsense, girlfriend. Your body is the vehicle through which you experience this life. This is really important, so I'm going to say it again. Your body is the vehicle through which you experience life. So if your experience of your body is not happy, that is going to negatively impact the quality of your life. Think about it. It influences your relationships, your career, your finances, your health, everything. How you feel in your body and about your body is a very, very, very big deal. It literally affects the quality of your life. So if you are one of those people that has felt like, oh my gosh, you know, the diet and exercise thing is so hard and I'm not really the size I want to be, but, you know, I really can't do anything about it. And so I'm just going to kind of accept it and move on with my life. And you know, it really kind of has that energy of ennui and sadness because you'd really, really like to feel better about your body and yourself, but, you know, you just have to kind of accept things the way that they are. No, there's a different path. You can have freedom. You can have peace. And you can create a body that you love. Now, that's not knocking acceptance at all. And I have this whole great big long thing about acceptance that I'm making notes right now that we need to get into one of these podcasts. Because accepting your body the way it is a very important thing to do. All right. So I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm saying, no, don't accept yourself and strive for some unattainable ideal that, you know, is perpetuated by a photoshopped culture or anything like that. I'm talking about you, your relationship with yourself and your relationship with your body. And if you have an inner desire to create a physique, to have a body a certain way, that is coming from within you. Now, some of the things might be influenced by culture, and I'm not going to deny that. But when you look inside your own heart and you come and you become honest with yourself, you can have a couple of different answers. One could be, you know, like, no, it's not really that big a deal. And, you know, I feel fine and I'm good. And glory, hallelujah, yay. But if you're one of those hundreds, maybe even thousands of women that I speak with that are like, I guess I'll accept my body, you know, and it feels like defeat because they don't have any place else to go. Or it feels like, you know what, I really could have the body that I wanted, but you know what? And I know that I can because I've done it in the past. I'm very intelligent and I'm very smart and I'm very dedicated and I have all of this professional career success. And so I really could do it if I wanted to. I just choose not to. I just choose to put my time and my money and my energy toward other endeavors. And so it's just not important to me. Now, if you're one of those people and that's a real authentic place that you're coming from, glory, hallelujah, praise you too. You know, you go, girl. In this podcast, me, Carmela, it is very important right out front that you understand, I don't care how much you weigh. I don't care what size you are. I don't care how active you are. I don't care what you eat. You are free to eat whatever you want. You are free to move however you want. You are free to be whatever size and shape you want. What I care about is your relationship with your body. I care that that vehicle through which you experience life, that you feel good in and you feel good about. That is your right. And that's my job, to help you get to a place where you feel good in your body and about your body. So all of this stuff about it being anti-feminine or anti-body positivity, you know, all of that stuff, no, absolutely not. It's a very, very, very important thing. Now, I kind of alluded to it a little bit in my rant, and you must forgive me. I'm Italian and I'm an actress, and, you know, I like to get all dramatic. I like to get all big and dramatic about things. And so oftentimes, maybe I might sound a little snarky, and I am never snarky toward you individually, or you, the person. If you ever hear me have snark, my snark is toward the cultural conventional diet and exercise model and the mindset that it creates so that you feel bad about yourself. That That is where my disdain comes from. That is where my snarkiness comes from. So if you hear me get all dramatic and all of this crazy stuff that I like to do because I'm me, you know, and it's somehow, you don't ever read it as snark to you. It's snark toward an attitude that is causing you pain. All right, I digress. Now we're getting back to that other theme, which is kind of tied into everything. You know, many of the women that were commenting on that post, they seemed to think that it was a trade-off between career goals and the weight because of the time and the effort and the energy involved. And I already kind of went off on that on my little rant. It seemed that a lot of the women thought that that to lose or maintain the weight is going to take a tremendous amount of time, mental energy, and commitment. And all of these things are resources. And the idea is that these resources are in a limited supply. So then you're going to have to choose between your time, effort, and commitment toward, are you going to put those resources towards your career and your career success, which oftentimes seems like a noble endeavor, or are you going to put it towards your weight loss efforts, which then makes you seem vain? And again, I say all of this is nonsense. All of this is nonsense. So you can see why I got all riled up looking at that post and those comments, and why I just was inspired to, you know, start this podcast. So to help you understand what I'm talking about, okay, you need to understand that there are two states of mind. There are two states of consciousness. There are two places that are emotional, spiritual, mental places that we live when we navigate this world called Earth. You know, one of them is called diet drama land, and the other one is called happy calories world. And the little side note to that is that this wonderful place is called happy calories world because my first book is called Happy Calories Don't Count, Neither Does Unhappy Exercise. And I'm hoping that by the time you get through this first or second podcast, you really fully understand the full implication of the title of that book. And if you don't, pretty soon, eventually, I'll just come out and say it. So we'll talk about diet drama land first. Diet drama land is this place, this emotional, mental, spiritual place where we are in angst. We are in pain, shame, and drama around our bodies and our weight. And it is my contention that diet drama land is based on the conventional cultural diet and exercise model. Now, I'm sure y'all know what I mean when I say that. The diet and exercise model. It means that this idea that if you eat more, or you eat bad food, or you eat the wrong food, you're going to gain weight. But if you eat less, or you eat good food, or if you eat the right food, then you're going to lose weight. And if you exercise more, then you're going to lose weight. And if you exercise less, oh my goodness, you're going to pack on the pounds. So this diet and exercise model, there are a whole lot of problems with it. But the first one we're going to talk about is that it sets up the idea that our bodies are a balance sheet. That's all it is. Our body is a balance sheet. And calories become this currency of exchange. And it sets up this deep, deep unconscious belief that we have to pay a price to eat. The price? Exercise. Or weight gain. Sometimes it's not that unconscious. Sometimes we just flat out think that we have to pay a price to eat, you know, exercise or weight gain. But I challenge you, you know, as we're listening through these episodes, to really reflect and think if it's not oftentimes an unconscious motivation. An unconscious motivation when you go to reach for something that you're going to eat, or you're going to choose a fitness activity, or whatever it is. This whole pay a price to eat thing is a really big thing. So I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Whether you are in your car, or whether you are doing laundry, vacuuming, you're at work, whatever it is, going for a walk, wherever you are listening to this podcast right now, I want you to take a beat and take a breath. Okay, go ahead and take a breath. Take another breath. get into your body and listen to this. You have to pay a price to eat. What happened to your body? Did you feel a little ugh? Did you feel a little tightening, a little tug in your heart or in your gut? I'm hoping you did, because that is a good thing. That is your body's way of telling you that this is all nonsense. It is complete BS. But what happens for most people is that we feel this little tug, and then we move heaven and earth to try to overcome it. That's where all of the drama, that's where all of the time, the energy, all of that effort comes into. It comes into play because you are trying to disconnect from your body and override your body's natural impulses. So this diet and exercise model, to be quote unquote successful with that model, it demands that you disconnect from your body. You can't eat just because, you know, you're hungry or something looks good or you think it might taste good. You can only eat when and what that diet tells you you're allowed to eat. And you can't just move your body just for the sake of moving your body because it feels good to move, because we're physical beings in a physical world. And just like your dog doesn't care what size it is, it still wants to go for a walk every day because it just feels good to express physicality in this physical world. We can't just move our bodies with the freedom, grace, and just fun of children. Watch your children. No, we have to exercise to burn those calories and to overcome those obstacles. And we have to maintain that mindset of success and all of that stuff that goes into it. All of the drama, all of the coaching, all of the diet coaching, all of the personal training coaching, all of that coaching comes about because it's really, really hard to disconnect from your body and override your body's natural impulses. And so that's essentially what everyone's doing. They're teaching you to support you in a diet and exercise model. They're supporting you in disconnecting from your body and overriding your body's natural impulses. So we're going to get back to how insidious this thing is. Everything about our culture supports this core diet and exercise idea. You know, there's that generic eat less, move more thing out there. But think about all the ways in which that is reinforced. Think about all of the millions of marketing messages that we see every single day that support that idea. And now in the information age, it, like back in the day, back when I was growing up in my generation, I just had to deal with the, you know, pinch and inch Kellogg's commercials, or, you know, the slick, beautiful models on the, you know, Cosmo or Shape magazines, all of that kind of stuff. Oh no, today it is not just all the stuff I had, but all of the screen time, all of the messages that pop up and the images that you see all over Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and just the generic internet searches and everywhere. It is everywhere. So think about those when you think about the little, oh, hey, do this workout. You know, this workout is the solution to get that body that you want. This workout is gonna be some special thing that's gonna, you know, burn 1,000 calories a minute, or, you know, whatever crazy thing it is. Or this diet, oh, we're gonna use the psychology. We're gonna really help you with your psychology, and we're gonna help you be able to stay on a diet, you know. Or this food, the calorie content on food is everywhere. And so, you know, these tasty treats and snacks are claiming, you know, like, oh, hey, this little bag of popcorn only has 100 calories. Oh, but this cookie over here only has 50, you know, whatever the craziness is. And then when you're doing your Peloton or whatever you're doing for cardio, or you're at the gym and you've got these panels glaring back at you with the calories that you've burned, you know, and what a good person you are for burning all of these calories. And oh my goodness, those Fitbits, Don't even get me started on the Fitbits. So in case, you know, one of these other things, you know, yes, I'm Italian, I'm dramatic, I'm an actress, I'm dramatic, I'm the happy calories girl, and, you know, I'm all dramatic about, you know, banishing the body shame and all of that stuff. Well, hey, in addition to all of that, I'm also a Pilates instructor. So Pilates was one of the key things that really helped me in my journey of transformation and healing. And so I became an instructor. And, you know, it just bugs the you-know-what out of me. I'm sure one of these days I'm going to say a bad word on this podcast. But it just bugs the bejesus out of me when just before a workout, my clients have to look at their little watch and their little Apple watches or whatever it is and start that little tracker, because you know what? Your Pilates workout doesn't count if you haven't tracked it. Again, utter nonsense. You know, so there's everything in the culture that supports this idea, right? And even if you have moved past this idea of just, you know, diet or whatever, and you just want to be healthy, or you just want to be happy, or whatever the thing is. What I've noticed, and again, when I make statements, and I'm like, this is the way it is, folks. This is the way it is, folks. Is cutting through the crap. It is based on over 30 years of my own pain and drama with multiple hospitalizations, life-threatening drama, and it is over 20 years in a Pilates studio, listening to women, and especially when I had my studio and it was a private personal training boutique studio, I am there witnessing the relationship a woman has with her body. It's not just a workout. You know, yeah, we're working out, but I am witnessing the relationship women have with their bodies, plus 10 years more than 10 years of doing all of this body image, self-esteem, weight loss coaching that I do with Happy Calories Don't Count. So when I make a blanket statement, there's a reason that I'm saying it. Okay. Now I lost my spot. I can't even remember what I was talking about. Oh yes. These emotional and psychological and spiritual issues, you know, the idea comes back down to that stinking diet and exercise model where we have to pay a price to eat. Because the underlying assumption is that, you know, like if I could solve my childhood wounds or my self-esteem issues or my intimacy issues or whatever the thing is, then I wouldn't want to seek comfort in food. You know, then I could stay on my diet. You know, and even with the people that are trying to be all healthy about the whole thing and going to their naturopaths and getting their hormones balanced and all of that stuff, again, it's the, hey, that's great. Why are you interested in doing this? What sparked that? You know, I'm a curious person, so I ask people questions. What's going on? And it always ultimately comes down something to the effect of like, well, if I balance out my hormones, well, then I won't have the sugar cravings. Oh, well, that's cool. Well, what's wrong with sugar cravings? Well, because then I wouldn't want to eat the cookie, which is just going to, you know, it's empty calories. I'm just going to, you know, negatively impact that caloric balance sheet, right? Everything comes back down to that idea. And we do it with each other. It's not just the culture, the marketing and the, you know, the diet industry and the weight loss industry doing it to us. We do it to each other. We do it with each other. We talk about sports and the weather and our diets. You know, we can't talk about religion or politics these days. So what do? We talk about our diets. Oh, well, I really shouldn't eat this, but that's okay. I'll just burn it off later. You know, there it is. That's that paying a price to eat idea just getting reinforced again. And it just happens everywhere. We end up in these little communities on these little support pages on Facebook or Instagram or wherever it is, where everybody's just trying to support each other in their weight loss efforts, which is a fine and noble thing. You know, great. Sisterhood, it's all awesome. But the problem is that everybody is offering support from within the context of the diet and exercise model. And you are never going to be free within the context of the diet and exercise model. So at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how much therapy you've had. It doesn't matter how much personal growth you've had. It doesn't matter how spiritually evolved you are. At the end of the day, you will never be free from your food and body issues if you filter every bite through that lens of the diet and exercise model. It just can't happen. That is the prison. That is the diet drama land that we are trying to get out of to get into Happy Calories world, right? This thing about overriding your body's natural impulses. And, you know, it can be such a scary thing. It doesn't have to be, but the culture has turned it into a big bugaboo. And I know there is so much pain around this, not just from my own journey personally, but I'll talk to people all the time and I'll say, you know, well, you can eat whatever you want. And it's like, yeah, right. No, if you only knew, if I could eat whatever I want, I'd eat, you know, like 6 gallons of ice cream. And no, you wouldn't. I mean, you might think you want to, but if you're really connected to your body, you can't binge. It doesn't feel good. If you're really connected to your body, you can't starve. It doesn't feel good. If you're really connected to your body and you're listening, sometimes your body might want a cookie. And you know what? You eat the cookie and you recognize that if the impulse is coming from your body, the cookie can't possibly be bad for you because the impulse is coming from your body. And you know what? You ate the cookie and you satisfied the craving of your body and you're done with it. And the other cool thing is that when you're really listening to your body, if your body isn't asking for a cookie, you can walk past that cookie and it does not seduce you. It does not call to you because you know what? You could have the cookie if you wanted it, but you don't want it. So you don't feel deprived. And sometimes your body really wants a salad and you eat that salad and it is the yummiest salad you have ever tasted in your life. It is not a penalty. It's not something that you have to eat because you can't have the pasta. You could totally have the pasta if you wanted the pasta. But in this particular instance, your body wanted the salad. And that is the yummiest salad you have ever eaten. All right? So this is the thing that we are dealing with. This really, really deep cultural, you know, it's almost brainwashing that we are in with this idea of ultimately disconnecting from the wisdom of our bodies based on the caloric balance sheet idea, you know, this cultural conventional diet and exercise model. So obviously, you know, I could talk about this for hours. And that's the main reason I started this podcast. I would go be a guest on other shows and we wouldn't even be scratching the surface. I mean, it would be a quick little like, hi, tell us about yourself. And I would give them, you know, like a couple of minutes about me and my background and how I came to be here. And then it's like, oh, this and oh, that. But you really, when I talk about cultivating a relationship with your body, it is a really deep, it is very personal, and it is a very sacred thing to do that I don't see anywhere else out there in the world. I mean, yeah, there are intuitive eating people out there, conscious eating people, mindful eating people, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's lots of body positivity stuff in there. But nothing I have ever seen has ever fundamentally upfront called the diet and exercise model to the carpet, like right out of the gate and says, no, this is a lie. No, this does not work. And if you are trying to create peace and healing from within a fundamental framework where this is the base paradigm, you're always going to fail. So the first thing we need to do is get rid of this diet and exercise model. Then, hey, guess what? We can listen to the peace and wisdom of our bodies. We can move forward with freedom, grace, and ease. We can do all of those things that support us in our life and have a tremendous amount of fun doing it. All right. So this format of this podcast is obviously going to change. It's going to evolve as we move forward. This introductory one, I'm telling you how it got inspired by these conversations that I'm seeing, these questions that people are asking. And I can't get a word in edgewise because we have to change the fundamental structure for anything to even make sense. So I need time. I need episodes. I need a podcast to be able to change the fundamental paradigm so that when I'm offering solutions, they make sense. They're not just another Band-Aid. They're not just something stupid like, oh, use a small plate when you go through the buffet line, or eat a salad before you go to that party and then you won't feel like you need to fill up on chips, or whatever those tired, rehashed, just ridiculous ideas are, okay? So this format will change. I will be sharing, you know, stories from clients. I will be, you know, commenting on things that I see show up in social media. And all through the while, I am going to be working diligently to be teaching you the Happy Calories method, to be teaching you this process so that then those commentaries have a framework. Those commentaries will make sense as to what I'm saying and why I'm saying what I'm saying. And feel free to shoot me an email, reach out if you have a specific question. You know, I'll talk through it with you on the podcast. We can either do it together, or I'll just read your question and then I'll just wax philosophical as I would to help any other client. All right. So I want to get back to this original question that started the whole podcast. What price would you be willing to pay to get the body of your dreams? What do you think it is now? Are you still thinking in terms of, oh, I need to figure out how to hire a personal chef and a personal trainer and the money that that's going to cost? Are you still thinking about the hours you're not going to be able to commit to your work because those are the hours that you're going to need to take on your weight loss and body endeavor? Are you thinking about the therapy, the cost of therapy that you're going to have to have so that you heal your emotional intimacy issues so that you won't want to seek comfort in food? Are you thinking about the cost of that liposuction treatment that you are considering, or those anti-cellulite things and body wraps and all the stuff that's all out there in the world now? What price would you be willing to pay for your ideal body? And my assertion is that there are two prices, and they're relatively simple. Not necessarily easy, but very, very simple. First, give up the diet and exercise model. That's one price. You have to stop living in the matrix. You have to stop thinking of food in terms of what it's going to cost you, of how it might have an impact on your body. You have to stop thinking of exercise in terms of how many calories are you going to get to eat, or how many calories you burned off, or what a good girl you are for doing that body bashing workout that you hate, but overcoming that obstacle. You know, you have to give all of that up. And that's definitely a price. It takes work. But I'm sure it's a price that you will gladly pay. The other price, all you have to pay, all you have to give up, is your own self-hatred. So I'm just going to leave you with that one for a while, let you noodle on that, and I will be back later. Have a great day. If you enjoyed this program, help it out. Give it a like, subscribe, follow, share. You know the drill. If you want to learn more about me, my books, programs, and services, visit my website, CarmelaRamalia.com. And don't worry, if you can't spell my name, you can also always find me at HappyCalories.com. Take care.